Good morning. Welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and we're going to have a blizzard here today in Trevose, aren't we, Michelle Bell? How many inches of snow do you think we're going to get? Because I've heard everything from 6 to, someone said, 18.
It depends where you live, wow. I think it's snowing. Is it snowing here?
Did it start?
It's snowing a little bit, yeah. But we're going to get it walloped.
Walloped.
We're going to get walloped. And yet Andy
Cohn. Snowpocalypse? Is it going to be a snowpocalypse?
Andy Cohn.
I love that
drove
term.
Here all the way from Tuckahoe.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I think you're going to have problems
roads
on the
roads were great this morning.
Later. Little fella. All right. Anyway.
All right there, Big Mama.
Joe Haley
you.
Is here.
I am.
Andy, you are fresh back from
last week. That's all you get.
You're fresh. Hey, Joe's here. Andy, look at you. You
well,
look
I
great.
Wanted to acknowledge Joe Haley, everyone's favorite managing editor. Andy, you're fresh back from PPI in Vegas. You were there all last week. In a little while, I think you're going to tell us exciting things that you discovered there.
All right, sure am.
Hopefully more than just the blackjack table, although I heard you were victorious.
Oh, plenty of time at the blackjack table there, Joe.
All right, we have a big show for you today. Before, what did you say? Snowmageddon? What are we having today, Michelle?
Snowpocalypse.
Before our big snowpocalypse.
Can't even say it.
Snowpocalypse, which
it's
is happening
crazy,
this afternoon.
It's that crazy, you can't even say it.
And we are going to, of course, take your calls today. Today's topic is how to handle employee disputes. So if you have any comments or suggestions or questions about how to handle employee disputes, please give us a call at 215-953-4979. Joe, what are we going to give you on today's Snowpocalypse show?
Our fabulous prize pack. We have the hand fans. We have the finger puppets. We have some drinkware. And we also have a $25 Visa gift card.
All right. So call us at 215-953-4979. And I'm so happy to report that our very own Kathy
just blew
Houston blew in with Snowmageddon.
Where were
Snowpocalypse. And Kathy, you're a little late to this morning's show. Did you, are everything okay?
Yeah, everything's okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're glad to
I'm
have
here.
You. Joe, tell us what else is on tap for today's show.
All right. We have tricky ways companies make you think
tricky.
Tricky ways companies
tricky,
make
tricky,
you
tricky.
All right. We're going to start rapping now. Tricky ways company
it's
make
tricky.
You think you're buying a premium brand. Kathy has that, so thankfully she showed up.
Yeah.
We have 10 phrases great speakers never say during a presentation. We have 3 ways to spark employee creativity, 6 habits of great connectors, 8 hidden but powerful Google tools for business. We have some other topics. We also have our favorite things, but let's start the whole show off in 60 seconds with the industry news. Andy.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
Tricky, Andy.
We begin this morning with distributor acquisition news. Top 40 firm Brown & Bigelow has purchased Milwaukee-based Caliendo Promotions and Incentives. CPI will keep its name but will become a division of Brown & Bigelow. Following the deal, Carrie Caliendo will remain with the company as president of CPI. Onto apparel market news now. Apparel prices are increasing according to new data released by the U.S. government. Consumers paid 0.6% more for apparel in 2013, marking the third straight year that prices for clothing have climbed. Check out Promogram today for a full report. Top 40 financial news now. 4 Imprint announced that its overall sales increased by 16% in 2013. The company's North American business, which drives much of its sales and growth, recorded revenues of $295 million, 15% growth over 2012. General economic news now. Small business confidence ended 2013 on a high note as owners reported increased confidence in their company's ability to grow sales. The National Federation of Independent Business Confidence Index jumped in both November and December as capital spending increased and job creation sped up. And finally, make sure to check out the Joe Show in Promogram today. Joe, what is hot for today?
Andy, we have lots of cool products, including a power bank that has an LED flashlight on the end.
Power bank.
Power bank.
Gotcha.
Check that out in
and
Promogram.
More. Promogram.
And more.
We're online.
All right. Thank you, Andy. We have our friend Leighton Lee from ETS Express on the phone, and he's going to talk to us about some recent factory incidents. And we're going to ponder the question, are they a cry for help? Leighton, what is going on?
Well, I know all of you are having a cry for help for better weather out there. So the introduction this morning about how to handle problem employees is a great segue for this segment today. Two incidents that I think illustrate some of the continuing struggles in the social compliance area in Asia. One incident was a factory shooting where 4 people were shot by a disgruntled worker in Cambodia in an apparel factory. And then another incident that hit the news a couple of days ago was the sentencing of a man in China who worked at a food manufacturing plant making dumplings. And he injected with a syringe a whole bunch of insecticide into these little dumplings that are sold all throughout Asia. And it hurt or injured quite a number of people in China as well as in Japan. So both of these incidents were about employees, or were committed by employees who were very disgruntled about their low wages and working in those factories. What's the point here? I think the bottom line is that we are increasingly faced with a disparity in wages in low-tech sectors such as apparel, footwear, promotional products, the soft lines area versus the high-tech area such as iPhones and electronics and televisions and so forth. There's a big, big difference between their pay scale. Obviously, they're more they're bigger profit margins in the high-tech area than the low-tech area. So we have to keep an eye on this in our world, in the ASI world, because we just don't have margins in our world. So social compliance continues to be a big topic. All of us who work for big brands are going to feel the pressure from the big brands to ensure that audits are being conducted on factories and that our supply chains are safe. So this is just a heads up. Nothing more than that. Very, very, very harsh reality in doing business in our world. So I hope all of you remain safe and warm, and just be careful. Thanks.
All right, thanks. That was our friend Leighton Lee from ETS Express. Thanks, Leighton. You know, this is sort of related a little bit, but did you guys happen to see an article on the front page of the Wall Street Journal last Friday? It was fascinating to me. It was about parents, you know, who would travel as a couple to go live in a factory and make money for their family and leave their children at home to fend for themselves for months at a time. And they profiled in particular this 10-year-old girl who watched her 7-year-old sister and who had a little brother, but he wandered off and died in a pond while the parents were away. But this poor girl was cooking and cleaning and keeping up the house. She and her sister would walk walk an hour to school each day, go to school, then she'd come home and, you know, tend to the house and take care of her for months at a time. And then the parents would call and, you know, harangue her if she wasn't doing a good enough job, you know, keeping up with school and things like that. But it was a very common thing. I thought it was very interesting. But one of the things is, I guess, the factories where they go, you know, don't allow you to bring children. You know, they have to live in employee housing and things like this. And the government doesn't allow them to travel. And there's all these crazy rules. But anyway, it was very eye-opening. It's a very, very common thing, apparently.
When we were in China, I think one of the first times, and we took a tour of one of the dormitories, that's exactly what it's like. People live, and if they're married, they can live together, basically like in a room in a college dorm. But I asked about their kids, and what a lot of them said was that they do leave them. They didn't say that they left them to their own device, though, with
some
families.
Some left with grandparents and things, but not everyone has families, and then they would just leave them by themselves.
Yep. But it's very common to leave, like, your home 5 hours away and go to a factory that pays the best, and you just live there, and you get maybe a day off a month.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes it's not feasible to go home because it's, you know, it's such a far distance.
Yeah. Anyway, it was fascinating. It was last Friday's Wall Street Journal. Well, we're going to take a break to hear a message from today's show sponsor, Haynes. And when we return, we're going to take your call-in questions to talk about how to handle employee disputes.
Haynes Branded Printwear is starting the new year with a new website. Designed for personal products distributors and screen printers alike, HaynesInc.com features high-res product and lifestyle images, marketing materials, videos, and upsell techniques to help you grow your business. Haynes is also proud to unveil the Nano Collection in 2014. Complete with brand new vintage colors and new styles such as men's V-neck and pocket tees, the Nano Collection is a high-quality line of lightweight, ring-spun fabrics in garment-dyed colors. If retail fashion is what your customers seek, the Nano Collection is where they'll find it. Cheap shirts are cheap. Haynes shirts are better. Visit www.haynesinc.com to see the Nano Collection today.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. Wow, the person who spoke in that commercial sounded really familiar. She was very perky and cheerful. I wonder who it could be.
Let's put a poll up to see if anybody could identify her.
All right, we're going to take your calls now at 215-953-4979. If we put you on the air, we're going to give you a Visa gift card and a wonderful ASI Radio prize pack as well. Today's topic is how to handle employee disputes. if you have employees who are fighting or you have any solutions to keeping the peace in the office, call us now, 215-953-4979. On line one, we have Isaac. Good morning, Isaac.
Good morning.
Isaac, do you have people fighting in your office?
Unfortunately, we do.
Oh. All right, well, tell us more.
Basically, we have two employees, and they're both really talented, and they're both great workers, but they can't seem to get along, and it's really starting to affect employee morale, and people in the company are starting to take sides. So I basically like to keep, I really would like to keep both of them, and how should I handle it?
Andy Cohen.
Crickets.
Well, we have a ton of Facebook advice, so I mean, I can address it with one of those, Andy.
Yeah, well, we can go to that. I would say that a serious conversation between three of you, yourself and the two people, needs to take place immediately, if not yesterday. You know, the whole point is that maybe there's some communication breakdown in not just from you to them, but between them and other employees as well. If there's really like picking of sides and. Then you've got an issue on your hands that's pretty deep, that runs pretty deep within the organization.
Well, because they've let it fester. I mean,
exactly.
If other people are taking sides, then it's gone on way too long.
Right. So I think you probably, if you really want to keep both of them, I think you need to sit down with them and air out what the issues are, see if they're amenable to changing what their problems might be. And then if they're not, then maybe you do need to go in a different direction and try to figure out if those companies actually, if those employees, excuse me, actually meet your corporate culture, or if they don't, then, you know, you might need to move on.
But I put them in the room together and let them make whatever accusations they have in front of the other person, because mm-hmm. often, you know, they'll exaggerate things if they're speaking
sure.
to you, you know, about, you know, keep out, just air it all out. Michelle, you said we had a lot of Facebook comments on this topic.
We do. Laurie O'Shea from Bonavator says, the early and often technique is the best way to deal with conflicts. Don't skirt around it. Address it when it happens and follow up to make sure that things have worked out. Eric Campbell says, the one and only time I've had this issue was handled from the top down and decisively with a face-to-face meeting, as you said, Melinda. In my opinion, we could have worked harder to address the root issue of the upset, and I think that's really important, not to just smooth it over for, you know, the short term, but really kind of get to the bottom of what exactly was going on and try to tease out what the motivations were behind the fighting. And he says, there are times, however, where we must remove emotion from the situation, address the impact on the business, and insist that everyone put aside their differences. And David Garthwaite says, if management can't resolve the issue to satisfy both employees, then try an outside HR consultant if you really do want to keep both employees and they really are top performers that, you know, you think are worth that. In my experience, it would be best to terminate both parties. California, where I am, is an at-will state. Once this is done, you will never hear of infighting again. After all, you're not running a daycare center. And my favorite is from Danielle Lum, who says, build a huge fight cage in the conference room and let them go at it. As a special bonus for the other employees, let them lay odds. I'm kidding, or am I?
I like that one. That's interesting. I think, you know, the big takeaway from this is, you know, don't, as a manager, you can't bury your head in the sand. You know, you hear people yelling and, you know, I've seen managers shut the door to their office and just pretend nothing's going on.
We had one of those, Joe, and I had one of those.
That's not going to be helpful. So I think a lot of people said, you know, address it early mm-hmm. and head on. Although the cage fighting thing is certainly an alternate option.
Well,
go ahead, Joe.
Does it make sense to put them on a project together? It's almost like that cage fighting. It's like you're forcing them into working together and then maybe they can work through their differences by working on one common project.
I think only after they've talked about it. Only
yeah.
after you get
otherwise
them in the room.
Otherwise, it's just
going to
be a nightmare.
All right.
Well, thank you, Isaac, for calling in. Hope that gives you some ideas. Maybe you'll set up a cage fighting area in your office. Isaac's going to stay on the line for his Visa gift card, and we have Anna on line three. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
I kind of have a little bit of a similar issue, but I have one top producing sales rep. You know, she's great, and then one of my, that same person has an issue with one support staff member, but that everybody else in the company really loves the support staff and nobody else has an issue. So I'm wondering how I can kind of handle the issue without losing that sales rep.
Well, can you reassign the support staff person to another sales rep, or is your company too small to?
It's too small, yeah. Oh,
okay, because a lot of times, you know, sometimes if there's just personality conflicts, if you can reassign people, that would be one solution, but I guess that won't work for you.
I think it's a similar issue to the first caller. You know, I think that those two people need to talk with a manager in the room as well. What are the differences, and what isn't the support person doing that the salesperson would like? What is the salesperson doing that the support person particularly doesn't like? You know, it's a common issue between salespeople and support people, but I think it goes back to communication. Are they, you know, are issues actually understood? And it sounds like they might not be.
You know, if everyone else loves the support staff person and thinks that person's wonderful, maybe it's the salesperson. And maybe perhaps the salesperson should do without a support staff person for a week or two. And then, oh boy, I'm willing to bet that they'll be thrilled to have that person back.
Yeah. It's almost like probation.
Yeah. You're in the penalty box.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling, Anna. Hope
thank
we helped.
You.
And stay on the line for your Visa gift card. On line four, it's Stanley from California. How are you, Stanley?
Good. How are you?
Good. You're not fighting with anyone, Stanley, are you?
No, no, no. Because I always win the fight, you know. No, you know, it's funny. I find that I have a very close friend of mine who has worked at several companies, and I always hear about the disputes. And I've dealt with vendors that have disputing, you know, customer service floors or sales floors. And I find that one of the biggest problems is that it starts from the top down. Either the management, I've actually heard managers say, we love a sales floor that's got conflict because they work harder to earn those commissions. And I think that's crazy. I think that you have to nip it early and immediately because there's an old statement that came out of the Vietnam War. It said, war doesn't prove who's right, only who's left. And it's the same thing with conflicts and arguments. And I, as a salesperson in this industry, when I call a vendor and they're having problems with their customer service people and I'm getting caught in the middle of it having to deal with different people, I just change vendors and I leave. And the times that I've had people in my office, when I've had people working for me that have a dispute, I find that I had to nip it early. And if it was something silly that happened before that was dragging into a future situation, get it out or get them out. Because I find that it just ends up, the only victims that end up being the casualties are your client's orders that things go wrong and then there's even more fighting. So that's my take.
I think Stanley brings up a really important point. Clients end up feeling this first.
Absolutely.
You know, it festers and affects clients before it probably ends up affecting the corporate culture of a company. So, you know, watch out for any conflict, especially as it relates to customer service and sales. Those are the most, you know, customer-facing departments. If there's conflict there, then customers are going to feel that before anybody else. And so that's something to watch out for sure.
And I think the bottom
line,
the bottom line, which Stanley articulated very well, is you've got to nip these things in the bud right away. I mean, we've seen before when employee conflicts go on and on, then you get other people involved, and then you have all these people gossiping behind closed doors and spending all their time in this whole big drama that has nothing to do with getting work done. So, good.
I was on the show floor, and we saw a product that was probably one of the coolest chairs I'd ever seen, but the two people in the booth, this was just at the Vegas show, the two people in the booth were so not getting along, and I was watching this, and I really wanted to get a sample and buy the product, and I'm like, I literally went to the booth next door to them going, this is crazy. Are they always like this? And they go, they were like this from the moment they got here.
They were actually fighting or arguing?
They were actually bickering and arguing while I was trying to find out more about the product and more about the, you know, and yeah.
That's
how it even extends beyond the office.
Absolutely. All right, thanks for calling, Stanley. Have a great day.
Have a great one.
Speaking of the PPI show, Andy was there last week mingling with the showgirls in Vegas. Andy.
And I survived to tell about it.
What I want to know is,
I'll tell you what you
I know
what
that
you
heard Tony Hsieh, the CEO of Zappos.
Yes, that's what I want to tell you anyway.
Keynoters, and I've always wanted to hear him speak. What did he have to say?
He was a great speaker. The audience was kind of riveted to him. He's just very soft-spoken, but stands up there and just kind of tells his story. You know, they obviously are built on the sort of culture of customer service. And he made a whole host of interesting points as far as how that came to be and why that came to be and how it impacts their whole company. But I thought what was interesting is that they see themselves as, you know, they sell shoes mostly. There's other apparel and other products that are on Zappos.com, but they started as a shoe company. He said, but we don't view ourselves as a shoe company or even a retail company. We view ourselves as a customer service organization. And that really, that idea and that kind of like mantra goes throughout the whole company, and that's what they do. And he said, so we could sell shoes or T-shirts or any widget, basically, and it would be the same exact thing, and we'd have the same exact culture, and everything would be the same. So we're pretty confident, he said, that you know we could expand into many other products and many other services and just use that same model. And he just was very impressive on the idea of corporate culture and how ultimately that is your brand, and you know their brand is customer service, and it's everything that permeates their whole organization, and that's their brand, and they know it.
Did he talk about how they've just done away with titles?
He did not talk about that.
I think that's really interesting.
I'm not surprised. They definitely have a, I would describe it as an unlayered type of organization where everybody's empowered to make decisions. They don't want customer service people who are interacting with their consumers to have to go to anybody else to make any kind of decision. They try to make returns very easy. They're an online business. So the biggest issue that consumers have with online businesses is the ability or inability to return items that don't fit or they don't want. Mm-hmm. He says that they've made that process as easy as humanly possible. And all their customer service people know that they have to take anything back at any point for any reason. So they have the kind of – they're empowered to make quick decisions when they're talking to customers.
And they've done away with cubicles altogether? Are they one of the companies that have done
I don't know about that either, but they just moved into a whole new headquarters in downtown Las Vegas. And that was a sort of a big portion of his speech as well was how – they've really wanted to become part of the community as a part of this. And, you know, they have, I think, like 2,000 employees. And they moved into, like, the old City Hall building in Las Vegas. So it's they restructured and rebuilt the whole building. And it's certainly a unique office setup. But a big mission of theirs now, and he's set up a whole foundation to do it, is to turn downtown Las Vegas into I guess I would kind of describe it like an Austin, Texas, where everybody's, you know, in bars or in coffee shops or in, stores that, you know, they're all kind of interacting in the community, not just his people, but all of basically downtown Las Vegas. The way he described it, you wouldn't think it was Las Vegas at all. So that was pretty interesting, too. I would say half his speech was based on this downtown Las Vegas initiative that he has, which has a lot of money poured into it. So
that's good, because downtown Las Vegas could use a little bit of help, I think.
Yeah, it is really interesting.
Have you been there?
Yes.
Yeah, but I see, last time I was there, I saw that they are doing a lot of work. It's not a nice place to hang out.
It used to not be. I would say I wasn't there on this trip, but I would say it's pretty impressive what they've started to do there for sure. So it'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, and we'll have more coverage of PPI Vegas in the next issue of Counselor Magazine.
We sure will.
As well. All right, thank you, Andy. Kathy,
yep.
You're going to tell us some tricky things.
Yeah, it's not all that tricky, and it's good news for our industry.
It's not all that tricky. Undersell.
It says tricky ways companies make you think you're buying a premium
And the title of this article is How Companies Trick You Into Thinking You're Buying a Premium Product. But it makes sense, and it makes sense for people in our industry to upsell the products with packaging, because packaging is number one. When it comes to overall satisfaction with a product, a study found that consumers rank packaging almost equal to brand. So the way the product looks can trick a consumer into thinking the product's high end. Things like muted colors, matte finishes, and crafted looking materials encourage a consumer to buy a product. In another study from the University of Miami, they found the attractiveness of a product was as important as personal preference for the brand. So that's interesting. And then the sounds a consumer product makes, whether a snap, click, rustle, or pop, can be memorable. And it often suggests luxury as well, freshness, effectiveness, or security. And then, of course, there's touch. Softer is better in a lot of instances. Think cashmere, according to the study. And so is smooth and silky when it comes to lotion or conditioners. So it's all in the packaging and the way you promote your product.
Sure.
Yep.
Well, those are some things that are applicable to our industry. We're going to post it online at asicentral.com/radio. We're going to pause for a message from another show sponsor. And when we return, Joe, I'm very interested to hear 10 phrases great speakers never say during a presentation.
Okay.
Get the state-of-the-art, industry-specific software that's easy to use with flexible options that fit your business. Get ASI SmartBooks. Combine all business processes into one technology platform that is created for you, designed for the advertising specialty industry, and fully integrates with ESP and ASI Smart Sales. Use this customized tool to operate your business at maximum efficiency. Call 800-544-1274 or visit asicomp.com to get the best technology solution.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. Joe,
yes.
We hear a lot of great speakers at ASI Show.
We do.
We just heard Barbara Corcoran and Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank, whom I loved.
Including Joe Haley.
Did you not win an award or something?
Oh, yeah. Wait, we should talk about that.
The Golden Globe.
Joe won a Golden Globe. Congrats.
I did.
He also just won a big ASI highly coveted award, the ASI Golden Mic, which means not only were you the best speaker from ASI at the show, you were the most highly rated, but you tied for the highest rating at all for the whole 3 days of education at ASI Orlando, which means he tied for the highest rating amongst professional speakers as well.
He's a pro. We don't even pay you.
He's an amateur. Yeah. We don't pay you. Well, I guess we pay
someone
you.
Someone buy
work
me a
here.
Cup of coffee.
Anyway.
Michelle's got you after the show.
You got a great score for your new class you're doing on how to do video. I know you took people around the show floor and taught them how to do Vine. So you'll be debuting again in Dallas.
I will.
All right. So what are things that great speakers never say?
Okay. Some of these are silly. There's 10 of them. I'm going to give you 4. One of them is, can you hear me? So in other words, you go into a room, you've got your microphone on.
Hello, can everyone hear me?
Can everyone hear
that
me?
That irritates me when people say
that.
That is stupid.
Testing. 1, 2, 3.
Well, shouldn't you have done that
would be
beforehand?
Even dumber,
yes,
but, you
he
know.
Says he says it should have been checked beforehand.
Absolutely.
You can let the audiovisual people handle that. And throughout, you should smile at the audience and look confident, which is a little odd, you know. Waiting for my audio, hi, and they look like the crazy man out there. Can you read this? And there's a few things going on here when you're using a PowerPoint. One, he says the size of your font should be double the average age of the person there. So if you think everyone there average age is 40, your font size should be 80 so everyone can see
it. That seems pretty big.
Yeah, I guess so too.
It does.
He says the other things you should know.
I mean,
more
then if Kathy's watching the presentation.
Type, I mean, I don't know that you could fit
you
that
need a 100-point font for Kathy and for you.
That'd be like the size of you on stage.
Wouldn't
it? Anyone else? He says that you should only have 4 words on the slide, and if you have something that you have to read it to the audience is going to shut you off, and they're going to start reading it themselves.
Well, I agree. Less is better. And lots of images, I would say mostly, you know, images and videos would be better than words even.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Shut off your phone, laptop, tablet.
Well, duh.
Well, no, you don't want to tell them to shut this off because what you're hoping that people are doing when
they're
at
the event.
Oh, I thought
the speaker should shut off their own phone.
No, the speaker shouldn't tell them to do that.
You shouldn't say it.
You should tell them to set it to vibrate or silent mode because people might want to tweet something great that you said, take a picture, shoot a little video as well.
I take notes sometimes on my BlackBerry when I'm listening to a speaker.
That's the next point, Michelle. You don't need to write anything down or take photos. The presentation will be online later. And the thing is, while it might be online, taking notes helps you remember something so when you go back. So your notes are going to help you when you get that online presentation.
I just remember we had a speaker in Dallas a couple of years ago who started the presentation doing all these things that you said you shouldn't do. And one of them was he said, now turn off your phones because if your phone rings, it's not fair to me and it's not fair to others in the room. And I'm like, that's how you're going to start
the
presentation?
That's how he started?
Somebody we know who used to work at this company charges people $5 in a session if their phone rings, just saying.
I smell.
And they pay it?
Smells
yes.
venom.
All right.
So, those are things. We'll post all 10 of these online later. So if you're going to go give a big presentation someplace, these are the 10 things you are not going to
Can I just say, because I read that before I assigned it to you, there's one on there that just irritates the hell out of me. When speakers get up, and you didn't mention it because you probably thought it was a given, but when speakers get up and they say, oh, excuse me, I had such a late night, I had such a rough night, they kind of give themselves an out even before they start talking about how their presentation's going to be
right,
bad.
Then, yeah.
Well, it's also like if you're sitting there and somebody says it was, it's like, well, all right, I'm out.
Yeah, right?
I'm hungover.
I'm done. I don't need to hear you then.
Tell us your bar stories. We don't want to see this presentation if you're hungover.
All right, we have just enough time for Michelle's favorite segment of the show where the editors talk about their favorite products of the week. Michelle, would you like to start us off?
Yes, mine is from anybody? Anybody?
Leeds.
Yep. Leeds.
This is a really cool item, though. I'm thinking Miss Kathy Houston may like this. It's great for barbecues, tailgates, festivals, and fairs. It is a game day cup with an inner cup that's like a wine glass.
Oh, yeah.
So it's she like a tumbler, but it's actually a wine glass inside.
Hook me up.
It's from Leeds, ASI 66887, leedsworld.com.
All right, Joe, what do you have?
I have Joe X highlighters. Can I take one, Melinda?
I'm going to give you a shot.
They are in the shape of a syringe, so they're great for the healthcare industry. Great for injecting some creativity into a promotion. Cool thing about these, they never dry out, and, you know, it doesn't bleed through your paper. They're a lot of fun. You can find them at Fields Manufacturing, ASI 54100, or you can find them online at www.fieldsmfg.com.
Andy Cohen.
All right, mine is the iStand speaker, which doubles as a cell phone stand and is great for travel companies or really anybody who is going on the road because it has a suction cup, so it can be suctioned to any car or place that you're going, say, in a hotel. So check it out online now at asicentral.com/radio. It comes from Corporate Key, which is ASI 63053.
Kathy, bring up the rear.
Okay, mine's a simple product, but it's very practical and useful. It's the antibacterial toothbrush holder from Evans Manufacturing, ASI 52840. This would be great for travel-related promotions as well as dental. And by the way, February is Children's Dental Health Month, so keep that in mind.
Wow, who knew?
Mm-hmm. All right, all those products are available to view also at asicentral.com/radio. We are out of time. Thanks today. Thanks to everyone for listening today. Thanks to today's show sponsors, Haynes and ASI Computers. Have a great week, everyone, and I hope that we survive. What's it called, Michelle?
Snowpocalypse.
Snowpocalypse.
Snowmageddon.
Again.
Be safe. Have a great week.